6:20 to 8. So we better crack on with technology news. Fevzi Turkalp is here, the man they call the gadget detective. Fevzi, how are you diddling?
Good morning. I'm diddling well, thank you very much.
That's always good to know. And you know, they can't touch you for it.
That's probably more information than you needed, but there we are. Thanks.
Now we've got a tech question for you here. Can you do a tech question before we start all the stuff, if that's possible? Kerry Hancock, morning Kerry, has a question about transferring information, texts, from a Nokia 6230, which is a phone I think is probably, what, maybe 8 years old or so, thereabouts, maybe not. Is it possible to transfer your texts? So we're not talking about other data, we're talking about what's coming on SMS. Can you do that?
Yeah, so that phone's about, I think that phone's about 10 years old. Well, the first thing that I would try is, they used to, I don't even know if they still do it, there used to be something called Nokia PC Suite, S-U-I-T-E, although it would be nice if it was the other sort, Nokia PC Suite, that had some basic text transfer capabilities, so that would be the first place to start, because that's Nokia's own software. If that doesn't work, and often text messages are unusual on phones in that they normally sit outside the normal data that the manufacturer lets you back up, but I think there may be an exception with Nokia PC Suite. If that doesn't work for any reason, or you can't get hold of Nokia PC Suite, there are a number of third-party apps that specialise in doing this, and making a complete backup, and often they also give you the ability to transfer them into another phone, or if you want, onto a PC or a laptop. So Nokia PC Suite first, otherwise we'd look for third-party apps. If you want to do that and you can't find it for yourself, contact me via Twitter at Gadget Detective. I'd be delighted to do a bit of research and find an app for you that will do it.
Hope that helps, Kerry, and let me know if it does. And that, just to underline that you can do that with the text messages and multimedia stuff from the phone.
Yeah.
Okay. And whenever I've done that, I've used Bluetooth to do it, to link two phones together. I don't know whether that's a way.
Yeah. The difficulty sometimes is that if the phones are completely dissimilar, it's sometimes hard to transfer data between them. This is also one of the problems with, for example, contact data, because often different phones have got different fields for information, different lengths of those fields, so the name might be 32 characters on one but only 16 on another, so you can get things like truncated text and so forth. So it's rarely perfect unless the phones are similar, and you wouldn't have a phone now that was similar to one of those that was modern, because that's a 10-year-old phone, I think.
Right. Let's get to the business here. Big story in the news, I think it was yesterday or the day before. Yeah. The May ransomware attack it didn't exactly cripple, but it badly affected some parts of the NHS. A report has said this week cybersecurity recommendations were not followed. Now, I think we knew some of that because it had come out in the process of the last couple of months, and certainly in that week after the attack. And we also discovered that some parts of the NHS are still using Windows XP. So what exactly were some of them not doing that they should have been?
Well, so this was a National Audit Office report, and they knew that there was a problem beforehand, because there'd actually been an assessment out of 88 out of the 236 NHS trusts, and none of them passed the required cybersecurity standards. I mean, none of them out. 88 were tested, all of them failed in some way, shape or form. So the problems were varied. Many of them were based around not having security updates. So as operating systems age, we discovered that there are faults in them, vulnerabilities that would allow software like WannaCry and other viruses to take advantage of those faults to get control of a computer and run their own program. So what ransomware does is it encrypts, that's to say it scrambles the information, your information, and then ransoms it back to you. Once it's done that, it extorts money from you if you want your files back. And what was found was that a lot of the computers that were affected were not updated with these corrections that the manufacturers produced to do away with these vulnerabilities. Now, surprisingly, a lot of those machines were Windows 7 machines, where the updates were available and just hadn't been applied. As you say, many of the machines were also Windows XP machines, where the updates are not freely available from Microsoft. Although, banks and so forth, where they have Windows XP machines still running, for example, ATMs, banks actually pay Microsoft to produce those patches. So the patches do exist. And if the NHS was so minded, it could probably have bought them as well. So it could have, patch those machines potentially as well. There were also problems with the firewall. So the firewall is, think of it like the moat around a castle. It's your first line of defense to stop a computer system being attacked. Those firewalls were not always correctly configured. Finally,
so do we think that everything that should have been done before this, you know, it's all very well crying after the milk is spilt, but do we think that they've now put right all of the things that were wrong then? Have they had long enough to do it?
I think it's highly unlikely, because some of these issues are budgetary, and systems tend not to change that quickly. I mean, this happened in May. I doubt very much. And some of it is to do with systems. For example, the government itself didn't have a system in place to accurately measure compliance with these standards. Yes, it had tested 88 of them, but there was no methodology. The final thing I would say that they need to do is not only have backups, because backups are key, because if they scramble your data and you don't want to be extorted and you want to get up and running, not only do you have to have current backups, but you should have a practice procedure for reinstating that data in minutes and hours, not days and weeks, as was the case. And that's just like a fire drill. You practice it because one day you're going to need it.
So literally, staff in the NHS are going to have to come to the realization that I think we've all come to, that you know it isn't a question of when, of if bad things will happen, but when, and you've just got to be more prepared. So I guess everybody's on their toes everywhere. We've got to get to the gadget of the week now, Fevzi.
Yeah.
This is something called Snagit by TechSmith. Now, there have been software out for years, since 1995, I think, 1997 certainly, that would allow you to capture and edit images that you receive or you create. So is there anything new in being able to do that?
Yeah, so this is a new version. It actually came out on Tuesday. It's called Snagit, or one word, 2018, as in the year. And it at its heart, it grabs screens from PCs and Macintosh computers. But and that facility is built into Windows. If you hit the print screen button, you can actually grab the whole screen. But this does so much more than that. You can grab the entire desktop, the entire screen. You can grab a region. You can grab a window. You can grab... One of my favorite things is to grab a scrolling screen. So let's say you're on a web page. I often do this if I'm buying something and the price is particularly good, or I think I might need to evidence what was on that web page at some point. I use Snagit every day, and in this case I use it to grab the whole of the web page, not just what's displayed on the screen, but you know, it scrolls down. So when you hit the button, you see it automatically happen. It goes to the top and it scrolls all the way down to the bottom and it grabs it. And in my case, I save it as a PDF file. Which is then great, because
it's so basic and it's so useful, isn't it, Fevzi? The number of times that you know I have a website and my web guy says, "Okay, you're having an issue, show me what it is." And sometimes, just because it's so difficult to do it any other way, I just take a picture of it and send him the photograph.
Yeah, and then with this tool, you don't just grab it. So it could be an error message, it could be a step-by-step instruction. So instead of me having to write out two pages of tightly packed A4 text, I'll grab like four screen images, I'll drop some arrows on it, I'll mark it up with a pen, just send it across like that. So things that it's good for example, is if you want to share someone's, you know, share your error message with someone, if you want to... Oh, one very good thing, if you've got a PDF file and you want to grab the text from it, you often can't do that if it's been flattened, as it were. This one's got OCR, optical character recognition, so you can actually grab the text and do that.
I definitely need that. I get sent books by authors that I have to read through quickly, and sometimes I want to cut and paste bits from them, and of course on a PDF that's not easy.
No, and often they're security protected. This will unpack it, because it just looks at the shapes and works out what the characters are and recreates
the
file.
It's so thoroughly useful. Is it massively and prohibitively expensive?
It's not cheap for a utility. It's shade under $50. So I guess about £40, somewhere around there. So that's not cheap. If you've got an earlier version, it's about half that money to upgrade it. But to be frank with you, I mean, you know, that's not cheap. But on the other hand, I can tell you, it's a tool that I literally have used every day for the last several years. I use it when I send emails across to people and I want to, say, illustrate a story, and I drop a picture in with some text in the picture and so forth. It's just extremely great. Oh, by the way, you can also grab video with it. So let's say you've got a video conference going on, you can actually grab the video.
And what will it store as an MP4 file?
I think you get a choice of how you store it, actually, which is well, also useful.
That's not so bad for your $50. You know, not that we're here to sell stuff, but yeah, I'm sure there are lots of other bits of software that do this. So,
and I've given it 4 stars out of 5 because $50 is not nothing. Otherwise, it would have been 4.5.
All right, and it's called?
It's called Snagit, SNAGIT 2018 is the new version.
Well, that's one I'm going to check out because I can see at least 2 uses in my life for that. And I'm sure that will be useful for many people. Febzy, thank you. Have a good week. If people want to connect with you, like Kerry did, and ask you a question, how do they do that?
Best way is to come and say hello on Twitter. Follow me at Gadget Detective and message.
Febzy Turkel, have a good week. We're talking 7 days. Thank you.
Cheers.